Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I'm going to go with good morning. I don't totally feel it.
Oh, I was going to say, it is in fact before noon.
I don't like it.
Counts as
I'm not happy the off-season's here, Josh.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of it is like, the Senior Bowl practices start today.
You could just say morning. Hey, morning. Because it's not a good morning.
That gives off the connotation that I'm chipper and it's a good morning.
Yeah.
Because we're on radio, I can't just do like the little head nod where you're like, I can't do that. We're not on video.
But
that's how I feel.
All right. Well, I guess then we need to come up with a term that you're like, hey, like, nice to see you. Happy you're here. And it's the morning.
The sun rose.
Thrilled. It's a new dawn.
It's a maybe. Maybe. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Yesterday kind of felt like the, all right, get ready. The off season's here. Tie your shoes. Go to work.
My shoes are tied.
Find happiness. Today feels like the start of, all right, the offseason is here. We're expecting Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean to speak with the media at some point this week. We don't know definitively when. We'll be speaking with Sal Capaccio at 11 to talk locker cleanout yesterday. But we are there. We are now to the point where we're talking about free agency and the draft and offseason trades you need to make, what have you. And I found myself yesterday really at a point where, like, outside of like desperately wanting like a Myles Garrett, Max Crosby trade, purely for the vibes at a certain point, but also like definitively they need it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really ready for this. I've spoken on it, Josh, the last 2 years. I kind of was at a point where I was ready for the Bills season end. You know, would it be just the bad vibes around it? The season itself just became such a grind, what have you.
Mm.
Yeah, I wanted them to win the Super Bowl, but when they lost after about a day, I was like, you know what? I kind of needed it. I kind of needed a reset with this team.
And also, I feel like in those years when it's like, yeah, like you're there, but the vibes are off or whatever, you're like excited about, hey, you know, they can do this, they can do that. Let's go look at this player. Let's look at that player. What are they going to do in free agency? Who are they going to draft? Like, that was the exciting thing about those teams, whereas this one, it was like, yeah, everything's coming together at the right time. This is a year that had no expectations. Let's just – not necessarily like, oh, we're playing with house money, enjoy the ride, but it kind of did feel like that for points of the season of like, hey, this is just a pleasant surprise. Let's keep going and see what happens. And ultimately, this is a week later than it was last year, so that, I guess, is a positive.
That feels so different for me.
But it doesn't feel like a positive.
It
like,
feels so different
like looking at a success standpoint, technically, this was a more successful season, but it still doesn't feel that way. It feels like either... It feels about the same. It doesn't feel less, obviously, but it feels about the same as it did last year where you're like, oh, here we are again, Kansas City.
I think
can't get past them. Like that's
for me, though, the last 2 years prior to this, it was just kind of like at a certain point, yeah, I thought they weren't going to win it. I felt they were going to win it this year.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's only a week later, but I hadn't already started to do draft prep or anything like that.
You're not doing draft prep in the last week of the season because you're just kind of like getting ready.
I kind of assumed we were going to have like a 2 week party leading up to the Super Bowl, then the Super Bowl. And then it was like, oh, well, the Senior Bowl. When did the Senior Bowl happen? Like, and we were going to kind of play catch up a little bit, but it was fine because they won the Super Bowl. Now, I don't know. Just for me, I'm not really there yet. Like I'm in a bad mood about how the season ended, partially because I think there are very clear needs for the Bills roster as a whole. I think as well, the loss on Sunday, when we don't have to stick on it too much, you know, 803-0550, if you still want to give your thoughts on the game, we're going to kind of today, you know, if you know, it dictates it, we're going to kind of move on to just thoughts on the offseason in the early days here. But for me, this year felt different.
Yeah.
It felt like they had a group that could get it done, even though they weren't necessarily the most talented. But now that the season is over, the fact that you weren't necessarily the most talented is now going to be a problem. They have desperate needs at edge rusher, at interior, really the defensive line as a whole.
Yeah, just the whole front.
Cornerback, literally past Benford, is kind of a problem. And now with Benford getting two concussions in like a 10-day period,
that's
very
concerning.
And that
second one was pretty scary. I mean, the fact that he was getting basically strapped into the cart was not an easy sight to see.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I hope for the best for him at this point just to make sure that he's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was said on I heard a little bit on the broadcast, too, of it's just like, you got to wonder now, like, even if they win, you know, when the game's still going on, is he going to be able to play for the Super Bowl? He would have been a talking point, I think, for those 2 weeks of, is Benford even going to be able to play?
I think it still is at this point because it's like, you know, you got to hope that he's okay, first of all, as a person. And then second of all, like, what's he going to bring to your team next year? Can he, you know, obviously it's a whole offseason, but concussions are weird. They affect everybody in different ways. So you got to hope for the best for him, and I think he'll be fine, and I think that'll be okay. But you still need cornerbacks. That's not to, like, even if he is there, you still have a big problem at cornerback. Kyer Elam looked all sorts of bad on Sunday.
Unplayable.
Night. Like, unplayable. It was, he's 15, 20 yards off worthy at the line, and that's just easy pitch and catch at that point. He's falling over on simple slant routes, trying to keep up with Hollywood Brown. So
there was a play we were looking at, I think, that ultimately became a crossing route. Ball doesn't go his way.
Yeah.
It should have.
Right.
That's how bad, like, it was.
But I think for me, like, you know, talking on the feeling of, like, this is the year or whatever, that entire game, even when they were down by 11, I was so confident. And I don't know if it was just the excitement. I don't know if it was, you know, arrogance or just putting the blinders on and saying, it's the Bills, they can do it. But that whole game, it felt like, yeah, you're playing somewhat the right way. Like, even though it looks bad or it looks tough at times, there's moments where it felt like, yeah, no, they're down by a score and a half, but they're going to win this game. They're going to be fine. Allen's going to turn it on. The defense did pick it up. Matt Milano, I mean, the whole defense was great, but Matt Milano's stop on third down, that for me was just an incredible, like, rush of emotion of, like, yeah, there it is. That's going to be the turning point. That's going to be the defining play of, like, yeah, sure, Josh might have a touchdown here that wins the game, but Milano is the reason why they got that chance. And it did play out like that for a little while, but then it just kind of fell apart. I mean, it was just this kind of crushing feeling. But even in the dying moments, even in on that fourth down play where Allen throws the ball to Kincaid, it felt like, oh, yep, there it is. Josh is being Josh, and it's going to be fine.
Yeah,
it's tough. And I don't want to make anybody sad again. I'm sure that everyone's still sad, but, like, it's just this close.
Yeah, you look late in the third quarter when they take that 22-21 lead. They fail in the 2-point conversion again, which kind of summed up a lot of the night. Really, any of those leverage moments, whether it be fourth downs, two-point conversions, they failed them.
Do you think if they kicked both extra points, it would have gone differently?
Would Kansas City
have played differently?
I think both teams would have played differently. I think the problem was, I think, simply put, the Chiefs players played better than the Bills players. I don't even necessarily know if it came down to coaching too much.
I think it did, to an extent.
Because
Kansas City did have some plays where it was drastically different than anything you've saw from them this season, especially for the Bills and Chiefs, because they've seen each other so much that they were, you know, bang on the, all right, let's change things up right here, right now, because this is what matters. And the one that sticks out to me is the last play. Osiris Torrance talked about it yesterday in the locker cleanout. Usually when they line up on the heavy side, that's not the side they're going to blitz from. And they were lined up heavy on the right side, and the blitz came from the right side. That's something that they've never seen before. And same thing with some of their red zone offenses. Like, it's so interesting to me how easily they changed all that and how flawlessly it all went. Because for a team that has played a specific way all season long, to just basically throw that out the window, or throw most of that out the window, and go to a completely new game plan, that's really impressive to me in it's speaking a lot to what Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo can do, because that, and I'm not trying to discredit, you know, McDermott, Babich, and mm-hmm. Brady, but that right there is kind of like the defining edge in some of these games, because I really think that all the Bills coaching staff had a pretty decent game plan. They had a good plan for what Kansas City was in week 11 and for what they perceived them to be. But that's where Reed and Spags step in and say, no, this is what we are today.
I think to a certain extent, I mean, again, the players have to, it's a risk. I heard Sal Capaccio talking about that with Mike and Chris. That's a risk to change everything and hope mm-hmm. your players all execute to the way they did. The Bills get a stop late in the third quarter. They have the ball to start the fourth quarter up 22-21. They score there. They take a two-possession lead. So, I mean, as great as Kansas City put themselves in a position, along with that, they only can kick a field goal
mm-hmm.
in their last offensive – truthfully, ultimately their last offensive drive that mattered, because they get the ball back. They're kind of able to just kind of kill the clock.
That one could have gone interesting, though. The very last one?
Yeah.
I don't think that gets talked about enough. If the Bills did get the stop there and, you know, Butker kicks a field goal, they've still got about a minute left on the clock, down six.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure, it's a lot to ask, but it's still like you have trust in the Bills offense to do something. And – I feel like that kind of gets skipped over because of how badly their actual last offensive drive went.
Yeah, and it was a bad offensive drive for the. Again, there were moments the Bills could have taken it. They don't. Allen, I think, was up and down the entire game, which is incredibly frustrating to watch because he's the reason they're there, ultimately.
Right.
As good of a roster as you've built, and that's true of any of these great teams, Mahomes, Lamar, Allen, Burrow, Herbert, Daniels, they're not there. This is an entire. The Eagles are like the only other team that I think you could put like a solid quarterback on the Eagles. They'd still probably be there, because of how talented they are and how they want to play the game, which is Saquon. And they have A.J. Brown. They got Devonta Smith. They got Dallas. I mean, that's an unbelievable roster. But on first and second down, Allen hits nobody. He's throwing the one, I think it's on second down, where he just kind of throws it over the middle of the field. He's got a wide open gap on the right side that he can just take in a run.
Yeah.
And just there was a lot over the last two games where I thought there were genuine mental mistakes by Allen, whether it be to start the Chiefs game where all we've talked about this year is he hasn't put the ball in harm's way. He's been very good at avoiding that.
First pass of the game.
The first two. He should have essentially thrown two picks. He obviously couldn't have, but both should have been intercepted. And then against Baltimore. Baltimore fooled him constantly into calling audibles at the line for negative plays. A lot of the screen passes we've been talking about and complaining about were Allen changing plays at the line, thinking he was getting coverage. Look, I love Allen, but at a certain point, these last 2 years have ended with him not really giving you the best at the end.
Yeah, and I think also, too, I think it was so jarring this year because all season long you didn't see those mental mistakes, and then it's like every single mental mistake he could have made throughout the season came out in two games. And there's two ways to look at that. Like, sure, he was great in the regular season and he didn't make any mistakes there, but they all came out in the most important games. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you want him to make mistakes in the regular season so they don't come out in the games, if that's how it's going to work. Like, it's kind of – and again, I don't want to discredit Allen either, because, like you said, he's the reason they're there. He is by far the team's most valuable player. And, like, again, we're going to have the MVP conversation in a few weeks when they finally award it. But he's had such – amazing moments, and he had a few in this game, but not nearly as many as he needed to. It's you got to find a point where you can get these to stop. You can get these mental mistakes to stop, and I don't really know how you can do that anymore at this point. I mean, mm-hmm. it's his first full year with Brady. Sure, you can kind of give him a little bit there, I guess, but.
But they were great all year.
They were great all year.
They were great all year. Yeah. And in the last two playoff games, they beat the Ravens, yes, but in the last two playoff games, he had some real lapses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my frustration. Did he have great moments? Absolutely. The throw to Curtis Samuel, if they win that game, is
that touchdown to Curtis
on fourth down?
And even before that, the throw to Mac Hollins.
Mm-hmm.
Both throws to Mac Hollins, the touchdown and the one where he gets down to the goal line. Those are
arguably iconic moments if they win the game.
Those are incredible throws. He's throwing to a guy who, and this is also credit to Mac Hollins, he was a guy this year where it's like, yeah, he's going to be a special teamer and maybe show up on a few offensive plays. He was like a very pleasant surprise. He led the Bills in touchdowns, in receiving touchdowns this year, and came up in those big moments. He didn't necessarily have a lot of times where he did stuff, but in the big moments, he was the one that was kind of stepping up and making these plays, which was really, you know, on one hand, it's a little like, hey, where are your other wide receivers? But on the other hand, it's like, hey, good for him. Great for him to step up in that moment and be what you need him to be. And I think that kind of gets a little, you know, glossed over because of the fact that they lost. I mean, again, that Mac Hollins touchdown was such an incredible play for both of them.
Yeah, and it gave a jolt to a team that desperately needed it going into half.
Yeah.
803-0550, the number two call. Talking, of course, the Bills game on Sunday. We don't have to move off of it. I mean, we're not going to for most
We've
of the offseason.
How many months?
We're not going to. Also talking, of course, the offseason. I threw it up on Twitter to get some responses as well. Love to hear your thoughts. 803-0550. What's the one thing you need to see from the Bills this offseason for you to consider it? Having been a success, of course, Max Crosby, Miles Garrett's names have been thrown out a lot as potential trade guys. Boundary wide receiver, cornerback depth. There's surprisingly a lot to go to for a team that made the AFC Championship. Let's start today with Mike on the line. Mike, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Just a couple of things on the season that just passed and in the future. When your tormentor always feels like he's one step ahead of you, you gotta step up. And I look at it a little bit differently. I don't think they beat us. We beat ourselves in three out of those four games. And not blame, but responsibility goes all the way around. Like 13 seconds, you can blame Levi Wallace and the special teams. And then last year, you can blame Josh for being really quick. It was like digs deep, Shakir end zone, field goal miss, over. And if we bookend Sunday's opening drive and the closing drive, to me, it felt rushed. It felt,
yeah.
Even if they score, you still leave a minute 30 or something for Mahomes. And again, you know why Spagnuolo takes that chance? Because he knows he has Pat on the other side, that I can take this risk right now. And I think at times, I'm not cracking on McDermott. I'm kind of, I like him, but sometimes I worry about him. But he is a good coach. It's just at times I think the Bills get, or at least this year, or this game, a little stubborn and just stick into the same thing. And sometimes you've got to take that risk to kind of move forward. And I've just gutted for the guys. And for those fans that call and say the players and the coaches aren't taking responsibility, listen to the interviews. They're more gutted than we are. Absolutely. So, and the future is bright. Lots of money. I trust Bean to do the right thing. And I trust that McDermott will find his way. And you know what's funny, guys? Andy Reid was Sean McDermott for many, 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 many years. So his time will come and our time will come. Just, you know, it's a gut punch, but we'll get there.
Mike, thanks for the call, man. And I liked your first point, and I want to bring up a listener who's also tweeting in, Will, because you mentioned that the Bills seemed very rushed on the first drive and on the last drive. And we were kind of, me and Will were having a little bit of a discussion too. On that final play, the 4th and 5 that ultimately ends up in a prayer ball to Dalton Kincaid, and you can argue you should have catched it, whatever. They probably should have been in a better spot. Josh, you mentioned too, you know, they rush on that strong side, which they never did. Mm-hmm. Torrance brought it up. Do you know when that play is snapped on the snap count? 18 seconds are left on the snap count on ultimately the play of the season. I love Josh Allen. These are the mental mistakes I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Go to the line. See if you can check anything. You got time. You've got more than enough time for an NFL quarterback. And instead, it's rushed. They blitz. No idea. Runs to the right, so it cuts off the entire left side of the field. Understandably so.
He always runs to the right, which usually is fine because it's...
Well, it's his dominant side. He can make better throws.
It's where he makes most of the magic plays, too.
Completely understand. But I think it's lost in the sense of... Dalton Kincaid should have caught the pass. Or if you're Benjamin Solak, Josh Allen should have eyes in the back of the head like a teacher and throw it to Khalil Shakir. I don't know.
I mean, to that one point real quick, I completely understand with all that. But Allen's got to know where the route is, I think, right? Like that's...
Yeah, but there's no shot he can throw it. There's no shot he can throw it. He's immediately running two guys in his face. He can't get on his back foot and launch it.
Right, but we've seen him try stuff like that, so... You know,
I think it would be a bad idea because remember that ball's going to loft up there.
Mm-hmm.
Shakir's wide open, sure, but then there's going to be a guy getting faster.
Time, yeah.
For me, it was just you had 18 seconds on the snap clock.
Mm-hmm.
Take your time, see if you can get a hard count to see where the blitz is coming from. Because then, if he does, We don't have Torrance saying, we were surprised they blitzed the side they never do.
You can see on the play that Torrance is completely unprepared. Yeah. Like, and that's that's no discredit to him because
they studied on film. They did something completely different.
He wasn't expecting it at all. So I also think
that's where your quarterback at the line needs to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Because then if they figure that out, hey, they're blitzing. Cool, now we got it. And then all of a sudden, that Shakir route
is wide open.
He's going to be wide open. He's got time to throw it, dumps it off, and he might have run into the end zone. He was that wide open. And we've seen he's a bouncy ball. Yeah, no one can take him down immediately.
You had a blocker in front of him, too. Like, he was going to have a lot of time and space. He'll get the first down, maybe even the field goal range at that point.
But this is where, look, I think everyone on the Bills deserves some blame. I think everybody. Because ultimately, I'm going to blame McDermott and Brady and Babbage for the first half. It looked like a joke. They looked completely unprepared. The second half, as we mentioned, going into the fourth quarter, they had an opportunity, if they could execute, to take a two-score lead. To go up eight.
Right.
And to put themselves in a position like they were against Baltimore where they could have just leaned on the Chiefs. And you ultimately saw, too, in a crucial drive for the Chiefs, all they could get was a field goal. So they did get better, which they'd shown most of this year, that they got really a lot better in the second half, but it was mental mistakes throughout. It was execution issues throughout. I think that's also where talent play is coming into this, where you got a great season out of, I think, a team that is somewhat limited in talent. You really did not have a wide receiver that could stretch the field. We all hoped it was going to be Amari Cooper. It never did. Shakir is awesome at his role, but he's not a number one receiver. James Cook, I'd like to see them give him the ball more, purely just because I think he's the best playmaker not named Josh Allen.
I'd like to see them give him a contract. I mean, he
seems to be where the NFL is going, so I can understand it.
I think he could be really a big part of this team for a lot of years to come. You got to see how the money works out, but I think he's a very key piece to this offense going forward.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to next on the line. It's going to be Nico. Nico, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, fellas, how's it going? Dealing with the loss like everybody else. You guys are making some good points about what I wanted to talk about. And, we talk about McDermott, and it's like, I don't think he's a bad coach. I really don't. I just, it's like we have, the second best coach in the league or the third best coach, and we're never going to get over the best ones. And, just looking at the game, it's like, look at all of the different things Kansas City did to prepare for us. What did we do? We did nothing. It's like, we don't have any cool blitzes. We don't have any plays that we've saved. We just do the same thing over and over again, and we lose over and over again. And it's like, we're stuck in this, we have a great coach, but I just don't think they put their players in a position to win against other great coaches. And so I don't know what you do with that though, because if you get rid of McDermott, it's like you might not find somebody as good as him, but, is he as good as the top-tier coaches? And I just think we're just going to keep getting outsmarted by the Andy Reids of the world.
That's kind of about it. I mean, Nico, I love the point, man. Thanks for the call. But that's kind of about it. I think we all should get to a point. I mentioned it yesterday. I was only on for about a half hour once Sal went to locker cleanup. But I mentioned, Sunday was the first time I felt like they were genuinely dealing with the Michael Jordan Bulls of the NFL. That was the first time where it was just, okay, Spags is going to be in the Hall of Fame, the first coordinator to go in the Hall of Fame. He's going to. This is absurd. Reid is the best coach in the NFL, I think, by quite a margin. I also am going to argue the Bills don't have as good of players as the Chiefs. I don't think they do. We're talking about, some of these blitzes that the Chiefs have. The Bills have them. Rousseau can't get home. AJ Epenesa can't get home.
Is it
Karloftis, Chris Jones, they can. Trent McDuffie is a far better cornerback than most of what the Bills have. Christian Benford has his argument. But McDuffie's better than pretty much everyone else they have.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the secondary, the safeties they had for 2 years prior. I think they just have overall better players.
Yeah.
At some pretty key positions that allows Spags to get the most out of them, allows Reid to get the most out of them. I wasn't the biggest Worthy guy coming out of Texas, which is surprising, me being a Texas fan. I didn't like his fit with the Bills, and ultimately I still don't really like his long-term potential in the NFL. But the Chiefs know how to get the most out of him. The Bills, who do they have? Mac Hollins led them in touchdown catches. Dalton Kincaid, their first-round tight end. I know he had a torn PCL. We're doing the Gabe Davis thing already. I can feel it. But what has he done in 2 years that gives you any confidence in that first-round pick? Keon Coleman. What gives you any confidence that he's going to eventually become arguably, I'm not even saying he has to be definitively, but arguably an elite player at his position? None up to this point. I think they have a great offensive line. They lost on that day. They needed to be so much better, and they lost on that day. How many of those tush pushes? I'm listening to the broadcast, so I get a little bit of a delay, or I get a little ahead of the TV. Constantly, the entire game was, I don't know if he got it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be close. That was the entire game, where for all year, fourth down was a joke.
Yeah, it was. You knew that you were going to get it.
It was snack time.
Yeah.
It was it was like punting in the kickoff. You're like, yeah, all right. Call me when it's first down. They're going to run an actual play.
Right. I think it's also like to go back to the whole like, you know, star power point too. Like I've seen tweets all morning. We got one here from Bubba. They need to get someone. Teams need to game plan around mm-hmm. other than Josh.
I mean, agree.
Yes, you have to kind of game plan for James Cook now. That's a new development. But other than that, on offense, what do you have to game plan for? All right, we got to eliminate these wide receivers because, you know, Allen can throw to them, but they're not elite wide receivers that can like outplay us essentially. Mm-hmm. And on defense, who is there? I mean, sure, you have Ed Oliver, you have Greg Rousseau, you have Christian Benford, Matt Milano, Terrell Bernard, and those guys have great moments and strings of games where they have great moments, but it's never game after game after game. Every team is singling those guys out because they need to stop them.
Yeah.
Like Ed Oliver, for as good as he was for the past few years, this was not the season that you needed from him.
No.
You needed to have that and more from what he did when he had his 8-sack season. What was that, last year or 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
That needed to be that plus a few more sacks in there. I mean, it was not at all what you expected to see from him this season.
Yeah.
And for the linebackers, like Bernard and Milano and even Dorian Williams to a certain point, they all, you know, had their moments. But it needs to be more of game in and game out. Every team fears you. And that's what the Bills lack. They have Josh Allen. They don't have a lot else that can worry a defensive coordinator or an offensive coordinator every single night leading up to that game.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. Phone lines are logged up right now, so we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll take a lot of those, so you can call in as well. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
Football can easily be turned into a results-driven business. But I learned that this team is special. It's resilient. And the mindset I think we've had all year is the same mindset we want to have next year, especially as an offense. Just the unselfish mentality that so many of our guys had. But there's a lot of amazing, incredible things about this team that we'll carry over to next year.
Buffalo Bills tight end Dawson Knox speaking there on the unselfish attitude of the offense this year. The Everyone Eats did work. First team in NFL history to have 30 touchdown passes and 30 rushing touchdowns. I do think, though, there are ways to augment that. You needed a boundary wide receiver. You need speed. You need overall team speed, I think, to get even more out of that offense. But if we're taking it just as this season, I was very happy with the offense. But I think there's a little bit more you can definitely get from it. Now, especially that you have the offensive line, James Cook, you add one more, I think, legitimate receiver on this team with Khalil Shakir, with Keon Coleman's like potential like asset to like the red zone and just being a big body. I like what they have.
You know what? You didn't win the Super Bowl, so ultimately there's always room for improvement. And I'm not saying that as, you know, trying to be
That's fair.
That guy. But at the same time, like you said, you need speed. You didn't have anyone that could make separation. Sure, Keon Coleman can go up and make big catches. They even tried that late in the game, or maybe it was earlier in the game.
Mm-hmm.
The same play they did in Seattle, where he goes up and catches the ball over Woolen. They tried that against Kansas City, just didn't work out the same way. It's a proven play that's worked before because he also kind of did it in the Jets game. Granted, the pass was probably intended for Ty Johnson and Coleman came in out of nowhere, but mm-hmm. there's certain aspects to all these wide receivers that could be good, but you got to add that one last guy that can just burn you down the sideline. And they haven't had that.
Yeah.
So
They have not had it.
With Diggs, they didn't really have that.
No, because that was not really Diggs' game. Diggs was a great deep ball guy, but he was not a burner necessarily. No. They really have not had that guy in a long time. I'd argue they haven't really had it in the McDermott era, which is somewhat frustrating. Again,
closest you can get is John Brown.
Oh, you know, you're right. John Brown absolutely counts there. I've mentioned it, and I'll probably keep mentioning, even though I kind of have become wrong here, but I was not the biggest Worthy guy coming out of college. Of the Texas guys, I wanted to add Nye Mitchell. I don't think that was ever surprising by most people. And his rookie year was a disaster. And I will defend it constantly that his quarterback play was subpar. 803-0550.
Subpar. It was well below par.
Okay, I thought you were going to like argue. I'm like, what?
No, it was well below par.
803-0550, the number two call. Talking a lot about the game on Sunday, but also looking forward now as we are well into the offseason. The Senior Bowl is this weekend. We're in the first Senior Bowl practice is today. We go to Tom on the line. Tom, how are we doing this morning? Tom, are you there? Oh, that's sad. Tom's not there. That's frustrating. Well, on to Joey. Joey, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, guys. What's going on? How you doing?
Doing all right.
Doing as best as we can.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. Yesterday, I had off yesterday. I only left my bed to eat and to go to the bathroom. You know, it was like, oh, here we are once again. Real quick, I'm going to keep this under a minute, real short and sweet. During the 2017 draft, when it was the number 10 pick, I saw Mahomes there, and I was with all my boys, and we were having a good time. And I'm like, oh, I hope we pick him. Now, the moment we traded out of that pick to Kansas City, the house across the street blew up, okay? And we were all stunned. But I am such a diehard Bills fan that the only thing I thought about was, oh, my God, is this good or bad? Is this an omen? Now, I am the most positive Bills fan on planet Earth. During that game, I just constantly said out loud, the Bills are going to win. It didn't happen. But now, years later, we are 0-4 and we can't get past Mahomes. I actually have a question for you guys. Who was the guy who actually decided to trade that pick? Was it McDermott or was it still Doug Whaley doing that draft?
Ooh, Joey, thanks for the call. I think that was McDermott, because ultimately Whaley is let go immediately after that, so I can't imagine. I think that was McDermott, and that's partially why I know the 2017 draft will always have that. They traded the pick that ultimately allowed for Mahomes. I understand that. For me, it's a little different. Just for the context, McDermott didn't even have his GM yet. And Mahomes, if you do remember, he's the third quarterback taken. Ultimately, Mitch goes first, and then Deshaun Watson. Mahomes was considered a huge flight risk for a lot of guys. Had all the talent in the world,
right?
But you also have to remember
he was the first wave of the new kind of prototype quarterback. I guess you want to call it that.
But the problem again, the context here is, already the expectations were the 2018 draft class is going to be different. It was already getting compared to 83. So if you're McDermott, I don't have a GM yet. This is my first draft. I've been here for 3 months. The GM I'm working with is going to be let go for the guy I'm ultimately going to replace him with. Why in the hell would I pick a quarterback where I will ultimately already be there setting up my franchise to, if this guy doesn't work, I'll be fired in 3 years.
Right. Yeah, and honestly,
plan,
too, like,
they had a plan that ultimately worked because they got their guy in 2018. But the 2017 class was not considered this great, you need to get one of these guys class. Again, Mitch Trubisky is taking like third overall, which, looking back on it, even the night of was stunning. But I understand it because, the omens are not great. But at the time, no. And Trubisky was actually taken second, not third. But so it makes it even worse. Again, the omen looks bad. The context, though, I think it truthfully would have been a terrible move by McDermott to take a quarterback in 2017.
He did take a quarterback in 2017. Nathan Peterman.
Well, not a
in like
first
the sixth round.
Round.
Fifth round. I'm sorry.
Round?
I'm sorry. I had to throw that in there. But no, I think you're right. Like, I get it. It's
always going to be uncomfortable.
It makes 100% sense, though. Like, when you look at it big picture, when you look at it just at the trade, it looks terrible. Like, it objectively looks terrible. But like I said, he was the first of that, I'm going to call it the prototype quarterback, where you're testing this out. Like, you're seeing what the next generation of quarterback is going to be. sure, Allen kind of gets there in a more flashy way, but Mahomes was the same thing. Mahomes was this guy where it's like you're taking a chance. He went to a little bit of a smaller school. Not saying Texas Tech is all that small, but it's not typically a school you'd
They win seven games, they put up 70 points a game. It is what it is.
Sure, yeah. But, like, same thing with Allen. Like, he's going to Wyoming. Yep. He's this guy that's kind of unheard of. He had no offers out of high school. Like, all this stuff, like, it really plays into just kind of everything leading up to now. Like, the way their legacies have started compared to now. And it adds so much more to the game, I think, in that aspect, too. Because they're both kind of not necessarily looked at the same in the draft, but it was a risk taking both of them. Mm-hmm. So,
a huge risk.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, to your point, like why they wouldn't have done it, because mm-hmm. it just didn't make sense.
Yep. Let's go now to Joe on the line. Joe, how are we doing this morning?
Yes, good morning. I guess my comment is, well, I got a few comments, and that's about the, I just don't believe that McDermott is the man that's going to lead the Bills to the promised land for a couple of weeks. I mean, all this guy is the new so-called, like, Marty Schottenheimer. If you look up those records between McDermott and Schottenheimer, I mean, they pretty much resemble each other. And, you know, and as long as we have McDermott, we're going to be playing checkers, and Kansas City's going to be playing chess. They've gotten constantly outcoached, and when plays need to be made, Kansas City makes those plays. Buffalo does not make these plays. And, you know, and then you guys are a little bit contradicting yourselves when you say you both expected Buffalo to win the game. I thought the only way Buffalo was going to win this game is if they won the turnover battle by maybe 3 or 4 to 1 or something like that, and they eventually ended up scoring touchdowns on those turnovers. But if you look at the matchups, the only clear advantages the Bills had was running back and offensive line. That's the only two areas. Other than that, I don't know why you would ever think that unless Buffalo got a lot of help on the turnover battle, that they would ever win this game.
Joe, they were leading the game going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean...
You're acting like they needed like six turnovers to win this.
Andy Reid's going to have his way with this team like he always does.
But he kind of didn't. They got a field goal. If Allen and the offense could score, they were going to win the game or at least have the lead with like 10 seconds left. You're acting like they were blown out.
No, you guys are missing the point. You are missing the point. They had the lead. I get it. But at the end of the day, guess what? They didn't make the plays. Andy Reid and his team made the plays.
So it's not the player's fault then? You're saying they make the plays.
With the same passes. When was the last time the Buffalo had 4 or 5 intermediate passes down the field? I mean, in the playoffs, they ran the same plays over and over and over again. What would ever make you believe that they were going to win this game?
They had the lead in the fourth quarter, Joe. Thanks for the call. And also Marty Schottenheimer. I'm tired of this comparison. He was 5-13 in the playoffs. McDermott already has more wins than him in the playoffs. He has 7.
Yeah,
and he made it to 1 AFC championship game in the middle of his career. McDermott's made it to 2. Mm-hmm. And again, give me another team who's making Super Bowls and winning them in the AFC. Come on. And we're at, they need to win the turnover battle by 4 or 5. But they won it by 1, and again, they had the lead in the fourth.
Yeah,
if their players could make plays, they maybe have something. Allen, you have 18 seconds on the play clock. Check for a blitz. It's 4th and 5. It's the play of the season.
Yeah.
Instead of rushing it. It's not a coaching. Maybe complain about the players once or twice. Allen, 2 years in a row, you have a moment to go down the field and score to win a game or at least to tie it. You gave Tyler Bass a field goal, and this time you didn't even give him anything. It's not always McDermott. What helps the Chiefs, they have closers. They have guys that in the moments, they make plays. We talk about how, even if the field goal went in last year against the Chiefs, we all kind of assumed the Chiefs would go down and score, right? Like, that's kind of where we're at. Hell, let's go to last week against the divisional round. Lamar went right down the field and scored. If Mark Andrews catches that 2-point, sweet. It's a tie game for the Ravens. Why is anyone convinced now that Allen's going to lead this team down and score in the playoffs on a must-win drive? I'm asking honestly. Why would anyone be convinced he's going to go do it? He hasn't twice now. To end the season, he hasn't twice now. The players need to make plays. Is it McDermott's fault that Kyrie Elam's a complete and utter bust and can't cover anybody? They lost arguably an all-pro corner on like the third play of the game.
Right after he made a massive, massive breakup. Like, there's so
and, yet they and were still in it.
And to look at
that's coaching.
To look at the turnover battle too. I think in games like this, specifically Bills and Chiefs, or specifically like Bills and Ravens, you have to look at who punted more as well. You have to look at those as turnovers in games like this, because when you look at that, there's times where if you're punting, you're basically just giving, you're basically throwing an interception or a fumble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the way I look at games like this too. Like, you, there's a reason the Bills went for it on fourth down so many times. And they were pretty good at it for the most part. They were just not good at it in the time that it mattered the most. They were 4 for 6 on fourth downs. If you take away the last fourth down of the game, they were 4 for 5. I can't remember the other one that they fell short on, but it was when Allen got pushed across the line, but actually he didn't. Never mind. That, like, if you, like, there's a reason why they're going for so many fourth downs in this game. Kansas City went 1 for 1. That's because they converted earlier. They didn't need to get to fourth down. They didn't need to worry about that. But then again, you also forced Kansas City to punt more.
In the second half, they were fine.
Yeah.
The defense was very good. You got multiple stops. You kept yourself in the game.
That's what matters.
I just don't understand this feeling that, like, you always knew they were going to lose. They needed to win the turnover battle by like 3 or 4 or 5.
In my eyes, they won the turnover battle. Yes, they got one fumble. But they also forced Kansas City to either punt or not go for a touchdown when the Bills went for more.
They set themselves up. I thought the coaching, especially in the second half, was much better. Your players need to make plays. 803-0550 is the number to call. Sal Capaccio coming up in just about 12 minutes. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We've also been getting connected to our fans, and that is brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com really quick, because we've got to get to Sal here at the top of the hour. Jim joins us. Jim, how are we doing today?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, I'll just say morning. That's about it.
There we go.
See, there it is.
And that's it. It's morning. Sun's out, like Dawson Knox said, or whatever. Hey, I agree. I disagree, though, on the McDermott bashing. I can see it, you know, a couple of years ago. I mean, you know, as far as the kickoff, you know, kick it on the ground, waste some time. You know, why are you covering the outside, not the inside? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, he's become more offensive-minded. We see the fourth downs that he's going for. You know, I mean, he's become more offensive minded as far as the game. You know, unfortunately, they lost. But, you know, the dynamics that the officials played in the game, the calls and the non calls. And I don't want to be that conspiracy theorist, and I don't believe any of that NFL is fixed crap. But they, you know, they did change the whole dynamic of the game. We're up 1 point. We're going. We're driving. And that non-call fourth down changed the whole complexity of the whole entire game. Momentum is the most important thing in a football game. We got it. We're driving. We're up 1. There's a possibility. Who knows? McDermott might even go for 2 to go up 2 scores. You never know. Yeah, we'd be up 8, maybe go for 9. We don't know. The official changed what the perspective of the outcome could be. Plus, it also changed, you know, the dynamics of where we played afterward. Our defense had to go back on the field after they thought we were driving. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it was, you know, so to downplay, you know, a couple calls messed every. You know what? It did. Juwan Taylor was lined up in the backfield about 4 or 5 times. You know, he was off center. Ed Oliver, that wasn't offside. We recovered the fumble. I mean, how is McDermott supposed to recover from all that? We did recover. We had a chance on the last drive to finally go and do some. Yes, Josh failed there, but it should have never have come down to that. I don't know. I'm just still at a loss about it. I still can't get over the officiating and how bad it is, but that's just me.
Yeah, Jim, thanks for the call, man. We got to run. I agree. I haven't really brought up the officials because I don't really like to. I think a lot of it's subjective. I'm with you. I don't believe it's rigged by any means. Home teams get a lot of calls, and the Chiefs pretty much only play at Arrowhead because they win a lot in the regular season. But yeah, the fourth down spot, I saw a lot of people. I think Sam Monson said it perfectly too. He very clearly got it, but not a single review would have told you he definitively got it. It was like an awkward, but like we all know we got it. But no review is going to tell you got it. And I remember the two officials coming in from the sidelines having wildly different ideas of where the spot was. And yeah, I do think that was a huge miss. But that also goes to the point of, guys, it's been your best play, and this offensive line's been awesome. And they could get no push on those. And every fourth down call was incredibly close the entire night. 803-0550, the number two call. When we come back, Sal Capaccio joins the show. Locker cleanout yesterday. We're going to hear from Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean at some point this week. We'll get his thoughts on all of that coming up next after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.